Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Okay, so now listen to me. You see, the book of Exodus is a typical love story, very typical. Because you see, in every love story, there is what we call the talking stage, isn't it? There is the talking stage, you know. I love you, talk your own, right? You know, excuse me, dance. Trust me, I'm fresher than that. I just, I remember one guy who accosted my sister on the streets and gave her some of the most cliche lines you can ever imagine. And when he was done, he wanted feedback. So he asked her, so did I toast you well? True life story, he asked her, did I toast you well? You know, but every relationship has the talking stage and then the confirmation stage. You see, but sometimes some people are undecided and they just string people along. We have a terminology for that also. What's that called? Friend zoning, right? You know, some of you are zonal executives. Because they've zoned your destiny for the past 3 years now. You don't know if there's any way forward, you know. And they're telling you, you're like a brother to me. So. But it's a typical love story because you see, just the same way, God wants us to be family. Throughout the Bible, you see God literally seeking a family. Maybe not literally, like in a carnal sense, but you see God seeking a family. He wants to be Abba, Father. Because that's who he is. And he reaches out to Israel. Israel is many times in the Bible metaphorically referred to as the bride of God, right? And he literally woos them. He wants Israel to know of his love. And he does everything for Israel. And you see, some of you, the same way you receive gifts from people, they take you out to lunch, and you never bother to ask, what are we? You never bothered. Or when they ask you out, you're acting surprised. So you thought I was just buying ice cream. That what? Are you less privileged? What? Why are you shouting out? Every day ice cream. Then I ask you out, you're surprised. Is this, you know? And so this is the story. How does God introduce himself to the children of Israel? They don't know him. God knew Abraham. Abraham knew God. But now this is a generation that does not know him. How does he introduce himself? And he promised Abraham he was going to bring them out of Egypt. So how does he do that? And so God raises a prophet, introduces himself to the prophet. He was very meticulous. The same way, maybe you're in an environment, maybe a work environment, there's a little you like. You've been single to stupor, even more single than a singlet.
Let the single breathe.
No. Make I help you. Maybe the person by your side will just pity you eventually. Hallelujah. You know, so, I mean, you are bringing yourself into the person's space so that you can at least build some friendship, some camaraderie, you know, and you never know where that leads. God is doing that. God puts a bush on fire to get Moses' attention. He literally tries to get Moses' attention. And he walks. Oh, step one. Now, I need to persuade Moses to agree to this task. And he does that. It was difficult. Moses was giving all the excuses you can imagine. He said, I'm a stammerer. God says, I will use Aaron as your prophet. You know, he was giving all manner of excuses. In fact, the Bible says God was angry. But then that worked. Now, how do you bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, who am I that I will stand before Pharaoh? But well, God does it. Does all manner of phenomenal signs, wonders, and miracles. Turns a river to blood. I think that's fascinating. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know how big a river is? And it all turns to blood. Sign after sign, miracle after miracle. At the end of the day, without any ammunition, without chariots, without horses, God brings them out of Egypt. Do you know how miraculous that is? That you want to deliver slaves from slave masters who happen to be the world power of that day out of Egypt? Where is your army? Where is your sword? Where are your chariots? Without none of that. Just imagine you ask Moses all those questions. Where is your sword? Where is your army? Where are your soldiers? And he says, all I have is this rod. He shows you a stick. You know? Oh, my God. But then it happens. And after all those plagues, they're standing in front of the Red Sea. Instead of the people to say, you know what, Moses, pray to God again. We've seen all the many things he did. He will move again. They start cursing Moses. Did we tell you that there aren't any graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die? And God doesn't say anything. He tells Moses what to do. Moses stretches his hand and the ocean divides. I talk about that all the time because it's so fascinating, and I'm not going to go into the details of that anymore. But then they get to the other side. And then they're thirsty. Instead of them learning by experience to depend on this God and to just ask, they start complaining again. And God is just saying, I'm going to see if these people will follow me or not. He gives them water. And then they're hungry and they complain again. And he rains bread down from heaven. But you see, after everything, after all the generosity, defeating Pharaoh, bringing them out of Egypt, sign after sign, wonder after wonder. I mean, I said an ocean literally divided for them to pass. Then he brings them to Sinai. Some of you have reached the Sinai in that talking stage where you say, you know what, stay, wait. Before, what are we? That's what Sinai represents. Where God says, you know what, oh yeah, this is the proposal. You agree, Abi, you no agree. If you will obey my law, I will make you a kingdom of priests above all the nations of the earth, for all the earth is mine. You do or you don't do. God asked me to say the same thing to some of you. Enough of the talking stage. Stop this flirtatious relationship with God. You only come, remember God when there is a problem. When you need something. You show up in church. When they see you in church, they know you are going through a lot. And God is saying, without even giving you any conditions or anything, I have shown you miracle after miracle. I've shown you my faithfulness. You know you didn't deserve it. Listen. Every miracle the children of Israel experienced was not because of their faith. You have to understand, they were grumbling in front of the Red Sea. Grumbling! And God, because of his faithfulness to his own plan and his promise to Abraham, parted the Red Sea. And these people went. These people were not different from Pharaoh. Their heart was as hardened as Pharaoh's heart. He delivered them. And now he's saying, you know what? Okay, stay. Let us talk this through. This is what I want. This is the type of relationship I want. And so what are you going to say to that? You can't continue in your own way. Do what you like. And then just sprinkle Jesus on top. God is asking me to tell you, decide, decide, decide. Please, are you listening to me? Help me nudge the person by your side. The person might need to say, decide. You're going to need to decide. Pastor said I should tell you to decide. In fact, say, God said I should tell you to decide. Open Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. Exodus 34, verse 14. That's what DIPA is about. It's about consecration. It's a type of encounter where you decide. These are my resolutions in God. This is the discipline that I will build. This is the structure of my devotion. I won't continue this way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody read Exodus chapter 34. Now, this is someone who has had enough of talking stage and is making demands. Come on, are you with me? Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. He's introducing himself. See, listen, many of you know him as Jairah. You know him as Nisi. Whatever else, you know, he's saying, I'm jealous. You shall worship no other God. He says, for this is the Lord whose name is jealous. You know, years ago, Oprah Winfrey said, I cannot wrap my head around the God of the Bible saying he's jealous. You know, what kind of God calls jealousy a sin and is jealous at the same time? On one hand, I don't blame her, because if some of these things had been taught clearly in the Bible, the question will not arise. But on the other hand, come on, context, come on. It's a simple context. There is a type of jealousy that is called godly jealousy. You know, when Paul says, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. I think that's 2 Corinthians 11:2. Jealous for you with godly jealousy. And what does that mean? Okay, for instance, in the context of your relationship, if you are dating someone who is not jealous, be very afraid. You are dating a guy. He calls you at night. Your phone was not ringing. Or you were not picking. Then you now pick eventually. And they say, where were you? You say, oh, I was with my friend. Which friend? Kunle. And it's like, oh, really? Give him the phone. My guy, how you doing? The next day, again, you were with Kunle. The third day, you were with Kunle. And he does not mind. I want to interpret that to you. It simply means he's playing with you. The only reason you'll be dating someone who is not jealous is that he considers you a fling. That's the only reason. But anybody who has serious plans with you, especially someone who has invested, I've been there for you. I was, you know, then suddenly one guy will just come. Anybody who has serious plans, has been investing, has been, where was this guy when I was helping you with your job application, helping you? See, I live on the mainland, I will drive, drop you on the island. Wait there for you to finish work, drive you back. Then in the evening, I say, yeah, with Kunle. We're just guys.
Bless you, bless you. That's what I meant. God bless you.
So listen, that also applies in spiritual context. I mean, this is a weird way to put it, but excuse this for the sake of illustration. Put yourself in God's shoes. You defended the people, raised a prophet unto them to deliver them, defeated Pharaoh. The army that was trying to kill you is drowned in the ocean. Now you are free on the other side. And then the gold that God gave you, you use it to make an idol. That's not bad enough. They now say, they were singing and saying, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. That's what they said. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. You. You waste small thing, Twitter go no. If it was you, not only will you destroy them, the death will be creative. You say, what do I do? Salt? No, I've done that before. And so the truth is, when I read this, I'm like, God, I understand. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. And he deserves to be. After all he has done for you. Please, are you listening? Please, laugh, but listen to what I'm saying. This is a message from the Lord. The Lord is asking me to tell you, stop provoking me to jealousy. Stop provoking me to jealousy. One of the simple ways you can provoke God to jealousy is to give vain things credit for the things he did in your life. Now you have arrived, you think it's because you are smart? Are you better than the people who don't have half the results you have? Don't think that it has to be a literal idol for you to be an idol worshiper. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can make an idol of your job, of your beauty, of your intelligence, of your money. And you begin to trust those things. And God is asking me to tell you, don't provoke me to jealousy. Please, are you listening to me? So that's Exodus. Now let's move to Numbers and Deuteronomy. If you've been following my teachings from Watch Night Service, I told you that the Lord said prophetically, there's a lot of prophetic message in Deuteronomy for the church and for this generation. Remember, right? And then you come to the book of Numbers, and the book of Numbers is an eternal warning. It shows you the consequence of people who provoke God to jealousy. What happens then? And again, let me relate that to your practical relationships. I mean, if you've tried everything, you've tried to woo a lady, you were there all the time, did your best to show her, listen, I really like you, and if you will say yes to me, I'm going to give you the world. I say, If she no agree, what are you going to do? Respectfully, you move on. That's the honorable thing to do. You move on. And I'm letting you know, listen, oh my God. The Bible says that as they did not retain God in their consciousness, he gave them up to reprobate mind. As scary as it may be, God can give up. There is a test. Listen, we never know what that test is, that reprobacy. All right? So, for instance, God brought them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land. But when they proved beyond reasonable doubt that they were not going to believe, he stopped moving. And some of you may not know that he stopped moving. I'm telling you now, he stopped moving. Let me tell you something. In terms of normal geography, the distance between Sinai and the promised land, do you know how many days journey it is? 11 days. But it took them 40 years. Maybe you didn't know that before. Listen to me. The journey between Sinai and the promised land, 11 days. But it took them 40 years. In fact, saying it took them 40 years will be wrong, because none of the people who were originally given the law went to the promised land. It was their children. Because when they showed, I mean, just think about it. As God was still writing, you shall not serve any other God. They have already built. They have already built. And I've never seen a generation like that. As God has not finished writing it, they just started hearing music. What's that? With tambourine. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. And so God said, I'm not doing again. Every lover will do that. The promised land is for them. The blessing is for them. But listen, if I give them this blessing, the reprobacy will be thicker and stronger. I will kill them. I will amplify the bad behavior. It will be worse. Sometimes God protects us not just from bad things, but from good things. There are good things we are not prepared for. Listen, I have told you this before, and I want to reiterate it. Sometimes the delay in your life is not because God's time is the best. The delay in your life is because you are not ready. You have not built the capacity to handle God's blessing. So listen to me, and just so you understand why I'm telling you this. Deuteronomy, you see a new generation. The children of the people who were originally given the law, all their parents died in the wilderness. And God brings them to a high plain from whence they could see the promised land. And he said, this is the land I promised your parents. They didn't follow me, so I made sure they didn't enter. Now I want to bring you to this land, but let us go over the law again. I'm wooing you afresh. And that's what the name Deuteronomy means. It means the re-emphasis of the law. Your parents won't follow it. Your parents won't grow. So this is your chance. If you will do it, I'm going to lead you into this land. And God told me prophetically, a new generation in the body of Christ is rising. And so he wants us to re-emphasize. This time around is not as if all our fathers did not obey. Thank God we have good examples. But it is time for a re-emphasis. Do you understand what I'm saying? The great tenets on which the body of Christ in this nation were built on. Let's re-emphasize it. Let's test all things and hold on to what is true. Let's build conviction. Let's build stamina. Let God begin to train us. In fact, the prophecy didn't end there, if you remember. And I'm saying this because it will happen. God said that he's leading us into a Joshua generation. Remember that? That the new generation, pastors and prophets, will be different from the fathers, even if it will be the same mantle. In such a way that from a natural standpoint, you see Moses and Joshua, and it's the same mantle but different expressions. You are wondering, you couldn't guess normally, except you were told that Joshua is Moses' successor. Joshua is nothing like Moses. Joshua is a soldier. Moses never held a sword. All Moses had was a rod. Joshua is a soldier. So Joshua has a secular brand. And he said, the new generation of pastors, and I will explain why later, will be bivocational. Listen, this is written judgment. And you'll begin to notice, you will see more pastors who do two things. Many of them will have day jobs. Director and pastor. Singer and pastor. Movie maker and pastor. Are you not seeing it already? It will look like a move. And it is a move. Because God used Moses to confront the Pharaoh. The job of our fathers was to create an environment that is conducive for worship. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now that the gospel has been established, he wants us to fight for space. And so like Joshua, listen, we want to make sure that at least there is, for instance, clean content for people who are looking for clean content. I will not watch movie without recommendation again, personally. Because some of them, they have put surprises from nowhere. It will be unrelated. You will know it's intentional. Boys just finished sports. You know, you say, oh, it's a sports movie. Next thing, they are kissing. Boys. And you're like, Jesus, remote. Let me tell you prophetically, it has just begun. You have to understand. Let me say this. The prophecy in the word of God is that things will get worse. So when we're talking about buying the field, we're not trying to change the world per se. We're trying to create alternatives for people who are looking for God. There's a difference. Things we spoil. We're entering into a generation of Noah where it is things might get bad in your city. It will be only inside the ark. Are you listening to me? So God wants to prepare for that. But now, you see, the big mistake that many churches have made is, respectfully, I can speak now, right? You are lying. That life still appeals to you. You like that this nation will be better. Carry someone that you know as a Christian. Put them in one government position. Some of them will surprise you. They will steal more than your predecessors. The stealing will shock you. You know, there's a type of stealing Satan will say, ah, ah! Satan will say, you are greedy. Satan will say, come. Ah, ah! You are greedy. So we have to talk about it so we don't keep playing church. So you have to understand, listen. And these are the stages of Christian growth. Don't just stick with the message of salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, God delivered me. He brought me out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. You know, it's a small thing for you to carry tambourines like they did and sing and praise God. But when hardship comes, for you to remember the same God, and at least for you to have the devotional courtesy to pray and say, God, we need your help. You helped me before. You will help me again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people don't have that discipline because the truth is their God is really their belly. That's the truth. And so, and unfortunately, these people hang around church. Not for God, but for his hand. That's all they want. That's all they want. Ever learning, never able to come to the point of truth. So when God brings you to Sinai, it is true. You are saved by grace through faith. It is time to develop some responsibility consciousness. Come on, are you with me? Like, I like to make the correlation between John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, glory to God. I will never die. I have eternal life. John 1 John 3:16 now says, you also, you must be willing to lay your life down for the brethren, because in Christ is not just a message to believe, it's an example to emulate. So I believe that Christ died, and because he died, I have eternal life. But also in what he did is an example. So he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So it's not enough for you to say, oh God, you sacrificed so much for me. He said, you too. Learn to lay aside your privileges. So you cannot claim, for instance, to believe the gospel and be class conscious. You literally receive the gospel of one who took on the form of a servant just to die for you. And you think that all your response to that is just to believe that and be saved, not to emulate it. If you were the Son of God and you were going to come into this world at all, you, assuming you even agreed, you will now be born in a manger. Think about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Think about it. Think about the simplicity of his life. The family he was born to. Look at all those things. You know, I was having dinner with a pastor, and he said something very profound. He said, many Christians don't have a Christian worldview. Meaning, they've not allowed what they believe to shape how they see the world and respond to the world. A man who claims to have met Jesus and is proud, it doesn't matter how many bad examples you have seen in that regard, he's wrong. I'm telling you, no matter how you spiritualize it, religious pride is still pride. Are you listening to me? God is asking me to tell you, start learning. If not, unfortunately, we have an example that God can get to a point after he has tried to teach someone and he sees this person is not going to learn. Okay. You will just keep going in circles. God is just waiting for some people to die so that he can give more serious people the assignment. So when the last person in that generation died, now I can move with this generation. The Shekinah now started moving. Now said, okay, now your parents didn't obey. I am telling you, will you go or not? Are you listening to me? So, I am telling you prophetically, there is a level of greatness that God is reserving for this generation. I'm telling you, but God wants us to build the spine for it. A generation that not only knows the miraculous hand of God, but understands hardship. That understands that as soldiers of Christ, you will endure hardness. Because one of the reasons God didn't lead them the path that was going to take 11 days is because they would have had to go through the Philistines. People who don't know how to pray when they are thirsty, are they the ones that will face Philistines? God chose to take them a longer route. So if we have developed, for instance, there are some things we must correct in our theology. That false notion that just because you believe, life is going to be a bed of roses. It's not of God. You've not so learned of Christ. And the slightest inconvenience, you're asking God, where are you? Giving ultimatums. It's easy to know people who have not seen God. when you see God, you will calm down. When even Apostle John saw God and he fell down as though he were dead. Just imagine God saying, John saying, God, if you know you are God. You'll just be like, so cute. Because when God shows up in his majesty, God is very God-like. Immediately you meet God, you will know you are not God. That there is God and you are not him. Job was talking. God said, who is that? What did you say again? I assume with this level of confidence, you were there when I was hanging the foundation of the earth on nothing. And that the morning stars were singing for joy. You should have been, you have that much experience. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? You do, right? Let me give you 10 seconds. Just tell him you trust him. You trust him with your life. There are some things you don't even understand, but God, I trust you. And the proof that I trust you is that I can even wait. I can even wait. I trust you. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. So I want to touch on three areas that God wants us to develop. You know what I've discovered? There are some things that if they are not taught specifically, the church will not learn. That's what I've discovered. If you just ask people to subscribe to the Lordship of Christ, that's too generic. For instance, if you don't build yourself in the aspect of money, in the aspect of sex, in the aspect of pride, you might excel at other things. But those things, you need to deal with them specifically. Are you listening to me? So let's run through those things, you know, and see what we can learn from them. So God, one of the things he told this new generation, and he's telling this new generation, what I'm saying is not just prophetically true, it's demographically true. Because just by the normal nature of things, as a young person in your career, you are rising, right? There is a type of money you should be ready for. Have you thought about what you will do when you receive your first 100 million or 200 million or 1 billion? Let me tell you. Think about it before it happens. Has money confused you before?
Oh, God.
Have you received money and you didn't know what to do with yourself? Then, this is one of the first signs you are not trained. Your body will be itching to spend it. Some of you know what I'm saying. You will start checking websites. Some of you, the moment, oh my God. Can I talk, ladies? You just open bag, all those Instagram pages that sell bags, shoes, you know, wigs, right? This is part of the training that the Lord gave the children of Israel. Open your Bible, Deuteronomy. I'm obeying God. The Lord said to teach you this. So let's go through it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. from verse 11. Oh my God. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Beware. Oh my God. This money you have been praying for and you didn't build the capacity for, I hope you know it can make you forget. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flock multiply, and when your silver and gold is multiplied, and when you have multiplied, he says, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Please, are you listening to this? Many destinies have been assassinated because of this. The love of money has pierced many with sorrows. He said, remember. So, I want you to picture this. From the place God was speaking to them, they could see the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And God, some of you, you know your trajectory. God has already shown you will be great. But God is using this program as a divine intervention to say, you know what? Hold up. Let's go through this. How will you handle it? How will you handle the fame? How will you handle the wealth? How would you handle the attention? Are you going to get proud? So the Lord is literally giving examples. When you build beautiful houses, will you still have sense? In this culture where everybody is somebody, any smarty, do you know who I am? 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 You know? And it's particularly an African thing. We only know success. We don't know legacy. We're too easily impressed. You bought one fine car and you cut short your vision. You can't see beyond that. The Lord is warning. Some of you, your parents made that mistake. Daddy was rich before. You know what I'm saying. And those fine cars, they got to a point he couldn't change it. They grew old. They grew bad. Too easily impressed. Too easily satisfied. I've given this example and I will give it again because it's still fascinating to me. You know, those of you basketball fans, raise your hand. You're all going to make heaven. You know they watch basketball. What is they watch? I'm just playing. But I believe the gospel. When it was announced sometime this year that LeBron James became a billionaire in dollars, as an African, that shocks me to the marrow. A billionaire in dollars is still wearing short knicker, bouncing ball. He's playing passionately. Give an African 50 million naira. First and foremost, he will wear short knicker anywhere. It's Agbada. He will have bridal train. They'll be carrying the cloth like this. Think, how much is $1 billion in Naira? Picture it. Maybe I want to put perspective. Imagine you had that type of money. And he's still playing. Those of you who watched last season, you see, he played with heart, did he not? If you were just watching, will you tell that guy has that kind of money? Some of you, too easily impressed. Your vision is small. Small. And that's why people with small vision, the devil always has a bargain for them. Because your vision is small. You will say, sell your soul. Are you foolish? Sell your soul. Then he will give you 10 years of small wealth. I said in the Aja Church, some people will do blood money. Then people with legitimate hustle still have more money than you. Are you not a fool? You were walking naked, carrying calabash on your head. Then someone with normal intelligence that God gave me is still richer than you. You don't see, you're a fool. I was talking to someone, you know, who had dabbled into maybe internet fraud. And I was advising him. He said, how will I cope? I said, sorry, wait. How much have you made since you started this thing? He mentioned the amount. I said, really? No dignity. So you were, with all your swag, they carried you to one dirty river. They were bathing you. Even your mom cannot bathe you at your age. But a stranger was bathing you like this. Yeah? And all of that for 20 million naira. You buy one small second-hand Benz, disturb the neighborhood. Then 5 years after, you die. It's so foolish. It's so foolish. And the curses from things like that follow a generation. Some people don't understand spiritual things. That someone worked all his life. You swindled him of his pension and you think your life will be the same. You think curses are a joke? You think curses are a joke? Just last week I was watching one, he pretended to be a lady and was deceiving a young American, told the American to send nudes. The boy was foolish, though. When the boy sent nudes, he now said, well, if you don't send me money, I will send this to your family. The boy begged. And then the boy said, please, if you don't stop this, I will kill myself. Then the Yahoo boy, out of desperation, said, go ahead and kill yourself. Because if you don't send me that money, I will share the pictures. And guess what? The boy killed himself. You see, we don't, listen, I cast out devils. And I know people have entered serious trouble for much less. So now, someone died on your head. And God is telling you, learn this now. The person who is talking to you has been tested in a small way. By the grace of God, I've put some structures. I'm not a signatory to any church account. Are you listening to me? And God can bless you legitimately. Not only can He wants to. He wants to. Please, are you listening to me? I can kneel and beg you. The reason I'm taking my time with this, even if I don't finish, I don't care. You don't understand? We'll continue some other time. It's because some of you know these things. You know these things. You go to church. Born again, Yahoo boy. There's no such thing. Born again, buddy. I know you know I love you. Mm-hmm. Everybody read verse 17 to 18, and you will make this the vow of your life. Are you with me? So you will not say this. It says, say with me, I will not say that my power and might and my hand gained me wealth. Look at verse 18. It says, and I will remember the Lord my God, for it is He who gave me power to get wealth. Hallelujah. And the blessing is not without purpose. It says that He may establish His covenants. It is not for me to flex on my neighbors. It is for the establishment of His precepts in my day. It is He who gives him power to get wealth. It is He. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God. I will never forget. Say that, I will never forget. Hallelujah. So it's possible and it's better. Let me tell you something. If people, don't be too obvious. What I'm telling you, even non-Christians know it. There are some people, they've touched a level of wealth. Most stinkingly wealthy people, they don't shout. You have to, if you know, you will know. Are you aware that even the luxury brands, the ones that are popular are not the real luxury collection? Any brand that you buy, that they write the logo all over. That's not it. That's for upcoming. I'm telling you, the real luxury brands, it will be a black shirt. Black. If you hear the price, you know that all other ground is sinking sand. So you have to start creating structure in your life. Oh my God. Let me see if I can move faster now. Please, are you learning anything? Say with me, I'm a doer of the word. So I don't want you just listen. I don't want you to just listen to this. I want you to do. Listen, to teach mystery is not hard, though. I can confuse you. This generation likes confusion. God wants to help you. This is simple for a reason. Please be a doer of this word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. So now I've talked on pride. Oh my God. Another thing, for time's sake, I won't share this with you. God introduced himself. He says, I am husband of widow, father of orphans. He says, don't treat less privileged people anyhow. Are you aware that God doesn't take it lightly when you oppress people with your money? It might be common in your culture. I beg you in the name of God, never be found doing that. God warned them. He said, oh my God. He said, when Pharaoh did it to you, I defended you against him. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. I brought you out with a strong hand. Now, when you now have money, you want to do the same to others? He said, if orphans should cry to me, don't learn foolishness online. Let me tell you something. Never buy anything to prove to people that you're rich. Make it a point of contact. You can buy good things, buy big things that you like, that are functional, but never buy anything because it choke. I want to use that language so that start putting that structure in your life. Start putting that structure. Make sure that when people come close to you, they don't feel less human. Make sure that you are not consciously or unconsciously damaging the ego of others. Even these joking phrases we use, you dey oppress. That is not the vocabulary of a child of God. Are you listening to me? Your God, husband of widows, father of orphans, defender of the less privileged. Some of these people, if they had the opportunities you had, they would be better than you. What did you do to be born into a rich family? What did you do? What did you contribute? What prayer did you pray? Please, are you listening to me? The reason I'm taking my time is with this is because you can be in church for donkey years and not know these things. I'm saying this with my heart wrenched that even pastors and it takes a little bit of narcissism, I'm sorry to say, that people believe in you, bless you financially, and then you turn around and use what they bless you with to oppress them. I don't get it. And it doesn't matter how popular it is, it must stop. It must stop in your generation. Say loud amen. Oh, can I tell you something? Don't let your money be the loudest thing about your life. Okay, you have money. What else? Where is your wisdom? Where is your anointing? Where is your grace? I think there is virtue in a man of God with simplicity. Then you see the wisdom of God's word, the power. Don't even set yourself up. You have light, screen, everything. Then you start talking nothing. No depth. No depth. Then the embarrassment will now be worse. You carry 4 iPads, nothing inside. There's no notes, nothing. Nothing worth sharing inside. Please, are you listening to me? Please, don't misunderstand. You're all people of discernment. You can see my heart. I'm not saying this. I don't feel like we're better than anyone. Do you understand? I want us to learn. Let's please God. Let's do things better. That's the prayer of our fathers, right? First Timothy 6:17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. You don't have to be proud. 1 Timothy 6:17, 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. First and foremost, oh my God. Are you ready for what I'm about to say? First and foremost, he said riches are uncertain. Listen, if you were having a business and it spoils, it doesn't always mean you were not praying enough. Are you listening to me? Such is life. Such is life. Riches are uncertain. Riches. So listen, make sure you are behaving in a way that will not become awkward if you suddenly lose your money. This is how to know if you are behaving well or not. If I lose all I have now, will it be awkward? Will I need to adjust? The next time they say, uncle, he says, stop that. Call me brother. You don't humble now. Or don't treat people. This one is also very common. Treat people in a way that when they rise suddenly, it will now be awkward. You don't now know how to say, you don't know what to call them anymore. Because unbelievers only honor money. You too. That's all you honor. You greet a teenager, sir, and you call an old person by name because he doesn't have money. Start changing those things. I will always respect elderly people. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, scratch that. I will respect all men. Honor all men. Start practicing that. Trying to use the magic words. Thank you. Please. Sorry. Listen, even for your kids. Oh my God. Children will do what you do, not what you say. So don't say that African thing that because you are my children, what do I mean? And the children in this generation, they will remind you. I told my daughter to bring something, she dropped it. And she was waiting. She said, "You're missing something." I first laughed. I said, "This generation." Iren the first, not me. Iren the first. You're telling you're missing something. Okay, that's right. I forgot to slap you. I'm missing something. But if not for anything, for the example, I said, "Thank you." And you know what she said? "You're welcome." I just look. Hallelujah. The Bible says that wealth can develop wings. And fly away. Develop wings. Sometimes you are doing a business. God's plan is not for you to stay there. Oh my God. And that is why you need to be smart. Listen to me. You don't get to insist on how miracles will happen. You don't get to insist. When God tells you by revelation, there will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. When famine comes, don't say in the name of Jesus, there will not be famine. There will, Isaac sold in the land. Sometimes the prophetic word is save. And guess what? Jesus, are you ready for what I'm about to say? If you are already prudent, you don't need a dream. If there are 7 years of plenty, you should be able to survive 7 years of famine. You don't, if you are prudent with the resources God gave you, you don't even need to dream. Do you get what I just said? Some people use the prophetic to be irresponsible. In the name of faith, you are irresponsible. I'm telling you now, if you have money, give. Flex, I like that text, very balanced. It says he gives us richly for enjoyment, all right? It's okay. Go on holiday. When you come back, save. Don't eat your future. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. There is a difference between what your money can buy and what you can afford. There are two different things. If you have 20 million, the people who drive 20 million cars are not your maids. Do you understand that? There are two different, don't allow, and you see, oh my God. Let me also say this. Any friend that puts you under financial pressure, end that friendship today. Are you listening to me? Any friend constantly they say, buy this cloth now, buy this thing now, guy, why did you know? Oh, end that friendship to it's not a godly friendship. You should have friends that inspire you to obey God, you know, plan for your future. Let me look for your trouble more. If you are dating anybody, when you are done shouting, tell me so I'll continue. Because I will talk this thing. Are you done? If you are dating anybody that always demands you spend, always putting you under pressure. You know, that person does not love you. In fact, chances are that person is not even planning a future with you. Because I have said this before. I said this weeks ago in Ikeja. Anybody planning a future with you will be worried. You want to eat our tomorrow? How will we send our children to school? Save. They will start disturbing you. It's okay. Please, are you listening? It says, tell the people who are rich in this world two things. Number one, don't be proud. Put your shoulder down. Have you noticed most rich people have fake eye problem? When they see an old friend, they're pretending you can't remember, just squinting your eye. Open your eyes, sir. You remember me? You remember me? Squinting. Oh. Come on, get out. He says, number one, don't be proud, and then don't trust in uncertain riches. I call it right use of means. Have it, but don't trust it. Did you hear what I said? Have it, but don't trust it. Someone gave this brilliant illustration. He said, money is like water. If you keep it under, it can transport you, just like water transportation. He says, but if the water starts entering the boat, then the boat sinks. So money is only safer under. Put it under its place. Under your feet. Put it in its place. Put it under. Put it under. Please, are you listening to me? Put it under. It's a good servant, bad master. And then finally, I'll just wrap up. Let's talk about sex. Are you murmuring? Now, first and foremost, I want to talk about something. There is this popular, silent but popular debate in our generation that I want to address. Of all the excerpts that I put, I have an assistant who put videos on TikTok. And the video that got unnecessary backlash was the video where I was talking about monogamy. And some people were saying, you're talking rubbish. You're not... there are so many apologies for polygamy, defending it vehemently. So, first and foremost, let's address this. Assuming you wanted polygamy to be legal and everybody to be polygamous, how much is enough? How many wives? Let's say four. If everybody had four wives, answer me objectively, will that be the end of cheating? You see what I'm saying? We like to lie to ourselves. We like to lie to ourselves. Some even present polygamy as the answer to cheating. The answer is, so the question I need to put back to them is, if everybody had four wives, in fact, let's add one more, if everybody had five wives, will that solve the problem? No. Why are we lying? Solomon married 300 wives and he was not okay. He had 700 concubines. And you know, a lot of people foolishly use him as an excuse. Do you know that Solomon was wrong? It's clear. The prophet prophesied, he says, listen, I know a time is going to come, you will succumb to the pressure of other nations because they have kings and they're going to want to have a king. He says, whoever you choose as your king, two things he must not do. He must not hoard silver and gold. He must not accumulate wealth. Did Solomon do that or not? Two, he must not multiply himself, wives. Solomon is like Solomon went and studied all the things he was not supposed to do and overdid it. And everything the prophet said will happen, will happen. Now, these women turned his heart away from God. Solomon was not the wisest king that ever lived. Just so you know, his wisdom was specific. It was administrative wisdom. Administrative. So he was good in administration. But he wasn't wise. His wisdom had a context. So, are you getting what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm going to say it again. It's usually broke people. Some people are arguing polygamy. Then people that are earning 70K are also arguing. No. Have they used poverty to swear for you? Are you determined to be broke in this life? Because I'm just wondering, what is the plan? Please listen carefully. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. So listen to me. Some of the popular arguments for polygamy will be this. Some patriarchs of the faith had multiple wives. So they will give examples of David, of Solomon, and all those things. But when they asked Jesus about divorce, and someone says, oh, that's about divorce, not about polygamy. Listen carefully. When they asked Jesus a question about divorce, and the argument was the same, Moses permitted it. Just the same way someone says, the Lord doesn't abominate polygamy. It's the same argument. And that's why I'm using it. Jesus said, from the beginning it was not so. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of heart, of your heart, permitted you to let go of your wives. He says, but from the beginning it was not so. It means that when you want to understand God's intent for marriage, you go to the beginning. You go to the beginning. And one sure way to have proven unequivocally that polygamy was God's will is if the first man opened his eye and saw five girls. And then Adam and I said, wow, these are now bones of my bones. And fleshes of my flesh. But that's not what happened. So God said, if you want to understand God's mind, go to the beginning. And it's the same with every other vice related to marriage and to sex. Someone wants to make an argument for homosexuality. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 1? He said, people live in the natural use of the body. It means that from the anatomy of man, God was already telling you what was supposed to go here and what was not supposed to go there. Do you understand what I'm saying? That when you open your phone, there's a place the SIM card is supposed to be. If you like, laugh, just listen to me. We're in a generation where these things have to be said. So just laugh and hear me. There's a place for SIM card. Don't put it on the screen. You will scratch the screen. Don't put it on the side. There won't be network. There is SIM ports. Are you listening to me? God created SIM ports, and there are natural signs to prove it to you. Some of the natural signs, for instance, is natural lubrication. So, anywhere there is no natural lubrication, it's not meant to be there. You will spoil something. Now, at the age of 45, you are wearing Pampers, diaper, suffering incontinence. Because when God is giving you wisdom, you won't hear. Of all fresh HIV cases, more than 50% are caused by homosexual relations. Are you aware? Listen, many people might have preached this the wrong way. We are preaching this with love. God loves you. But we don't have to deny what the Word of God says to show you love. We don't. And it's just there. It's there. Someone says, what do I do? Listen, I know it's hard. You see, first and foremost, some of the people who are just quick to make fun of these things is because you don't understand. You are battling pornography. You have not been able to break free for the past, and it is convenient for you to say, you know, men are men. If you had the drive, will you have the discipline to withstand? I don't know. And there is no evidence in your life that you do. It is true. A lot of people preach these things without understanding, without compassion. But at the end of the day, what is wrong is wrong. And let me tell you something about sin generally. Both homosexual and fornication and all. It will never reduce by gratifying it. Because that's what the devil uses to lie. And just satisfy it. Instead of going, you find it growing. And that's the thing. It will get worse. It will get worse. And that's why even people that were defending this thing, they are not sure anymore again anyway. Because the way this thing is going, people are wondering. When we're trying to show God's word on homosexuality, everybody was shouting. Now, trans has taken it to a whole new level. Now they are taking your children forcefully from you. Now some are now wanting to side with us. Stay there. Unfortunately, it has just begun. Are you aware? There is flag for pedophilia now. Are you aware? Oh, you don't know. Because every argument, listen to me, because at the end of the day, the fact that you have legitimate feelings does not make it right. So what the world will learn eventually, and unfortunately will learn the hard way, is this. You cannot just argue for a position because people feel it. Because someone will now come with his own argument. I like children. How do you distinguish it? How? So at some point, it's just the same way. Even you can marry, okay. The fact that you feel something for someone that is not your wife, does that mean it is therefore okay? So to some extent, everyone will need to put restrictions. It's hard, I know. I'm not judging you. My prayer is that God will help you. But the word of God is the word of God. Even if we are only 10 that still preach it, it won't change you. Every time, and God will always preserve his word. There will still be one copy somewhere. And it will be there, clear as day. Let the church say amen. Yeah. Start putting some limits. Start learning. No matter how popular something is, and culture, you don't have to go with it. If you're a single person, please, at the proper time, get married, settle down, and then have sex. If you want to do 5 times daily, go ahead, do more grease to your elbow. That's the thing. You can't claim God doesn't understand. God created sex, and he put pleasure in it. He could have made it painful so that you only do it when you really want children. You know, imagine you felt pinch every time. Ow! Won't be having this argument. God loves you. He made it pleasurable. He said, and in his wisdom, he said, in marriage, bed undefiled. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. What do you mean? What if it was pain, as painful as a punch? What will you do then? He made it pleasurable because he wants you to enjoy your spouse forever. That's why. So do it his way. It's not easy, you.
Abby Pierre.
The Lord is faithful. How? Ay, God. The Lord kept us. Then we were trying throughout a few days to the wedding. It was crazy. No, I was telling her, wait, I was disciplined. I was saying, wait, he that endures to the end. Is that what happened? When he tried to touch me, I said, Mato, gosh. Hold on, sister, hold up. Hey, God. Some days you hold me and say, man of God. You know, and it's good when you're a preacher. It's good, right? Hey, let me call out one of us. He preached a fiery sermon, Pastor K. So he said, mortify sin, mortify. Few days to his wedding when it was, and his eye was here, they say, mortify sin. Mortify sin. Hallelujah. But like I explained, I think it was last Sunday or upper, God's principles is just like a guardrail. You think it's a boundary, but it's to protect you from falling. There's a reason we have railings on the gallery. It is not restrictive, it's protection. So it's a perspective issue. When God gives all these principles, you think God is limiting you, he's protecting you. And more often than not, if you go on your own and in your own wisdom, have you noticed something? The world will soon agree with the Bible on marriage. With this drama you are watching every day on Twitter, eventually, we will come to say, you know what? God was correct. Some of you are already saying, Abby. You will soon eventually agree. God knows what he's doing. Do it God's way. Because listen, when you insist, it is only this type of man who drives this type of car and has this type of money, that deserves attention and can date me. What you now do is, those small percentage of people now get an overwhelming attention. And when they get overwhelming attention, I'm talking about people who don't follow the Bible, get overwhelming attention, why do they need to commit to one person? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do they need to commit to one person? And when they don't commit to one person, there is a cycle of error. Now, the lady who was flattered by the wealth of a guy, when she makes her own money, what do you think will happen? You will now start seeing people, they will say, when I became successful, I realized it was not the one for me. Are you not seeing that already? That's what happened. Because in the first place, we have made it transactional. Because it's transactional, the guy will say he doesn't want only one. And the lady, when she gets her money, she will say she does not want at all. Eventually, when everything scatters, we will come back to the Bible. We will be waiting here. Don't waste your life. Believe God. Follow His words. Scientifically, couples that live together before marriage are twice more likely to experience a divorce. Scientifically. That's statistic. If you don't listen to the Bible, listen to statistics. Trust God. So I'm going to wrap up with this. God said, if you love me, keep my commands. You know what else he said? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. It means that you must make sure that your love has practical expressions. Come on, are you with me? And I just gave you the example of these three aspects: pride, money, and sex, because these are the three aspects that many Christians tend to avoid. There might have been some that I didn't mention. I want to beg you in the name of God. God brought you here to put some structure in your life. Write out some things. The areas you need help, go and research on it. Go and research on it. God, I want to handle money better. For instance, if you don't create a structure of generosity, no matter how you pray, money will deal with you. Because God said you can't have two masters. Money has a goal, whether you know it or not. Money wants to take the place of God in your heart. You must consciously put money in its place. Consciously. Consciously. And when you don't create an environment or you're not living a life of purpose, there will be many distractions. When David was going to battle, he never saw anybody in the balcony. When David was going to battle, there was no balcony from whence he could see anybody bathing. But now, you are accomplished, successful, let the young ones go to battle. Then in your idleness, are you aware most habits are a symptom of idleness? Create purpose in your life. Give direction to your money. Otherwise, money will give you direction. Please, go back. Listen to all these things. Put structure in your life. And let your profiting appear to all. Say loud, amen. Amen. Can God count on you? Will you obey God? If you've made mistakes already, your sins are forgiven. And now he's simply calling to everyone to repent. That's all. That's the balance we must learn. In the church doesn't learn know how to mourn when they should mourn. And they don't know how to forgive when they should forgive. And so you must put side by side 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 3, addressing the same issue. Where Paul says, you mean someone was in this kind of brazen immorality. He says, the type that even the heathen will see and say, eh? Wow. Where Satan will say, you are a bad guy. You are a bad boy. You are a very bad boy. What is your name? So sometimes we don't know how to mourn as we should. And sometimes when we start the mourning, in the name of holiness, we will destroy people beyond recovery. You know, the church does that too.
A lady in school told me how that her pastor discovered her dad was having an affair. So the next sermon was a hot sermon on holiness. And then in the middle of the sermon, he said, "Mr. So-and-so, stand up. Sister So-and-so, stand up." He said, "These people, they're having an affair in church." You know, that's, for some people, that's their definition. That's their definition. And it's the hypocrisy of it for me. How that we celebrate the fact that we enjoy grace from God and mercy and forgive us, you know, and forgiveness. And I mean, if you will count iniquity, I will not stand. You know, when it is time to reciprocate that, it now becomes troublesome. It becomes troublesome. And the Lord will have us, you know. So Paul, who wrote and says, cast out that person, he wrote again, 2 Corinthians. He says the measure and the punishment is okay. It's okay. So it's a discipline in church to know when it's okay. When someone says, I'm sorry. When someone is restructuring, building discipline in the word of God. What is it again? How can you be standing with a message of forgiveness and not forgive? So we must be a generation of balance. Come on, are you with me? Generation of balance. So please go home, listen to all these areas. Lord, I want your word to find expression in these practical areas of my life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is a metaphor for the evidence of the Spirit's influence. Do you understand what I just said? Fruit is a metaphor for the evidence of the Spirit's influence. Meaning, I will not know that you have the Spirit only by tongue speaking. If you have the Holy Spirit, there must be love and joy and peace and patience. You see, listen, a lot of people, for instance, have not learned patience. And you have to start practicing that. God, you said you want to perfect what is lacking in my faith. What are the areas? Okay, I want to learn that. Some of you don't drive like believers, for instance. I'm giving you context. You don't drive like a believer. Someone wants to enter the queue. You are guarding it as if they want to steal your destiny. As if that's promotion in life. What? Calm down. Like I said, God structured the entire teaching, morning and afternoon, so that you won't just be Christian, you have a Christian worldview. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want there to be evidence of the Spirit's influence in every aspect of my life. The way I treat money, the way I treat people, my views on sex, my views on marriage. Let the word of God influence me. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord. Listen, he has accepted you. He says, if you live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let these things not be a contradiction of the salvation that I have so freely and generously received. Come on, are you with me? The Bible says that we should be doers of the word, right? We are wrapping up this session. Please bring out your notepad. What are the practical things you will do
The practical adjustments you will make in your life, please write them out. Write them out. Write them out. Write them out. Amen. Glory to God. Are you done writing? Do you need a few more seconds? Write, write. You're doers of the word. 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 If you are owing money, how will I pay back? Lord, I cannot be a child of God and not pay back. Say with me, I keep my promise. So learn to try as much as within your power to keep your promises. When will you pay back? 2 weeks. Don't let them call you. Some of you, I'm telling you, write it now. Write it now. If you have the money, open your bank app, pay now. Don't let thunder fire you. Hallelujah. Are you done? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all that we have learned. We are doers and not hearers alone. And by doing your word, thank you because you are washing us with the water of your word and we're emerging better people, equipped. And Lord, for all the blessings you have in store, we prepare ourselves. Not only are we going to experience riches, it will be, like your word says, durable riches and righteousness. The type of success that instead of inhibiting our spiritual progress, will advance it. Because then we will improve and increase the fruit of our righteousness by giving to the poor, giving to missions, being a blessing to those around us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.